Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jesus, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? I'm here with brand new MMA Roasted podcast. I got my buddy Chris Camozzi. I'm watching your fight right now with Emiliano Sordi. Actually, I'm actually watching it right now as we speak. Holy shit, man. I mean, you might be the toughest person in the history of the world. that first round, he had that rear naked locked. I mean, they said you were going out and you were just like, no, right?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't close. I've been working a bunch of defending submissions. I guess I got to work on, like, just not getting in them actually would probably be better.
I mean, was it? I mean, because they were like, I think it was Kenny said, oh, this fight's over. This fight's it's done. And no. And then you came back and beat the shit out of him in the second round.
Yeah.
Almost won the third. I mean, it was a very, very close fight.
Yeah, it was a wild one, man. I think it was like a slip and slide in there, too. I don't know if you could tell, like, just falling all over the place and –
it was crazy.
It was a good one, though.
That was a great fight. Your last fight was good, too, against Corey Hendricks, who's a tough, tough dude. I mean, do you think that like went perfect for you? Is that how exactly you thought the fight was going to go?
It was actually a lot like I thought it would go. I wouldn't say perfect because perfectly I would have finished him in the first round and not had to fight three rounds. But it's pretty crazy. Like, all the positions that we ended up in on the ground was everything that I trained for. Literally in the back warming up. I wish I had video warming up in the back. It was the same thing. Like, he took my back, how I got out, how I reversed it. We had been rehearsing that stuff because we knew that he's good at taking the back. We knew his ground was pretty good. And then striking wise, I would say it went exactly to plan. It was a perfect case scenario. Literally, I wish I had all the training videos because everything that we trained happened.
Yeah, no, Corey's good. I've watched Corey fight a bunch. I've been following him forever. He's a tough, tough dude, underrated guy. I mean, you won. I don't understand how you didn't make the playoffs because, like, you beat Corey. You pretty much beat Sordi. I mean, the Sordi fight was amazing. And the fight before that, you won. I mean, you beat a guy, a really good guy that people didn't think you were going to beat, Cesar Ferreira. Like, why did you not make the playoffs?
Your guess is as good as mine, man. The point system – I think what PFL is doing is really cool and it's unique, and I love the idea of it. I think that they got to tweak the point system a little bit because I beat Cesar Ferreira, Corey Hendricks beat, I forget his name, the Norwegian guy.
Yeah. Hamill or something, right?
We beat both of those guys in something like that. We beat both of those guys in the same night, and they both moved on to fight each other in the playoffs, and Corey and I fought each other in the undercard outside of the playoffs. So it's a little weird. It was like two guys got hyped to fight each other in the playoffs that both just lost their previous fight.
Did you bang someone's girlfriend or something? Did you hook up with like one of the matchmaker's wife? I know that back in the day you were kind of a mosey.
I do all right for myself. We got Dustin Jacoby here too. We're heading up pheasant hunting right now.
Dustin, how is it going, man? Congrats on your freaking 3-fight winning streak, murdering everybody. 4-fight win.
Eight fight, but in the back in the UFC 4-0-1. Yeah, man.
Oh my God, you're just
appreciate you, bro.
Dude, you're murdering people. That last guy was like that guy was like the Terminator. He just kept going forward. He just kept punching him.
he was tough, man. He said the first jab I threw busted out his two front teeth. Imagine fighting for, 10, 12, 15 more minutes, whatever it is, with your teeth jacked up.
Dude, nobody wants any piece of you, man. You finally learned how to wrestle. And now you
tell me that. I know, man. I've been through it to get to it. That's what I tell everybody. I've been through it to get to it, and experience is everything when you can you know, add the skill and everything else that goes in there as well.
So we got Bill Dawes, by the way, very funny comic. He's with us. I'm talking to Chris Camozzi and Dustin Jacoby. They're going on a hunting trip. Like these they're not manly enough. That they fucking beat people up in the octagon. They this guy's a glory kickboxing champion.
What are you hunting for though? I mean that's telling. Are you going for elk or what are you going for?
Right now we're going pheasant hunting. So we got this guy right here to find him.
Oh nice.
You wanna get the birds, right?
Yeah.
What do you do with a pheasant? Do you actually eat it or no?
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If you kill it, you gotta eat it.
What does it taste like?
Pheasant.
Chicken. It's always chicken.
Pheasant is not that great. It has to be cooked right. You know, pheasant stew's good. You can make some jalapeno poppers, throw them on the Traeger, wrap them in bacon. But if it's not cooked right, it's not good, man. You got to really marinate it. It's kind of gamey, but they're fun to shoot. And we do. We clean them and we eat them. We eat everything we kill. So
yeah, come out here. You come out here. We'll take you. We'll Dick Cheney you.
So where are you right now? Are you in Texas?
We're heading to Kansas.
Are you in Kansas? Yeah.
We're heading to Kansas. We're driving from Colorado to Kansas.
You ever hunt with Joe Rogan? That must be a dream. Come on.
We would love to. He knows all the people.
Wait, there are no pheasants in Colorado? You got to go to Kansas to get them?
No, there are. It's just not as good. It's better in Kansas. It's only a couple hours away, so.
Jesus. Now, by the way, Chris Camozzi's girlfriend, he like comes to my show with this girlfriend, and she's a smoke show. Like, I got to, like, not look at her. One of those girls that, like, I avoid eye contact because she's like – because you look at her, you're like, holy shit, that's the fuck – like, just girls. But then you, like you have to, like, just act, like, cool, you know? So I add her on Instagram. She's got, like, a million followers. This chick is, like, doing, like, squats every day. Like, her tits are out. Most gorgeous fucking chick I've ever seen in my life. Normally, when you date a girl like that, you lose fights. You're actually winning fights. Like, how is this? How are you winning fights while dating that girl, Chris? What's going on?
We work out all the time. Keep the cardio up,
dude. There's a video of him punching her butt cheeks. He's doing the speed bag with her ass cheeks.
Are you serious?
It's a great video. You gotta look it up.
Now, how did you get this girl?
I don't know.
I mean, your personality is terrible. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, you're a good-looking guy. You have, like, good blue eyes. You're a fighter. But I don't see you as, like, a guy who's, like, who hits on girls a lot. Like,
Adam, I got to tell you, a fighter with blue eyes, that's everything. It's like Ortega too, right? He gets all the hot girls.
I'll tell you exactly what happened. You'll actually like the story. It's kind of funny. One of my friends sent me, like, a story of her on Instagram. And I'm like retarded when it comes to technology. So I write back like, oh my God, that girl's fucking amazing, blah, 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 blah. But I sent it to her instead of my buddy. I didn't mean to like reply to her story.
Uh-huh. Well done.
I followed up and I was like, sorry, that wasn't for you before she even responded. So then she was like, well, wait, like, who is it for? And I was like, oh, it's nothing. I was just talking to a buddy. I wasn't meaning to talk to you. So I guess that worked. I don't know.
That's a good trick, man. We got to remember that.
Wait, so then she...
Yeah, it happened by accident, but I guess it's a pretty good move.
But then she says to you, well, you're cute or something, or like, what do you do? Or like, I mean, how does that go from there to you getting a date with her?
Yeah, I mean, she was like, well, who are you meaning to talk to? And I was like, well, to be honest, since you're calling me out, I was talking about you, but I didn't mean to send it to you. And then we just kind of started talking from there. And and then the rest is history.
Oh, you got to see this girl. What's her name again, this girl?
Whitney Johns.
Whitney Johns. Bill, it's like, this, it shouldn't even be legal. This girl, you're looking, you're like, this
I'm not going to look her up on Instagram right now.
This is bullshit. This is. And meanwhile, the girl, Chris used to work at a strip club. He was a bouncer, right? And like, I think his ex was like a dancer. So I was like, yo, oh, this is the guy. And I met her before. And I thought that was the ex. So when I met him, I'm like, oh, yeah, I think
oh,
I met
no. you.
And then Chris is looking at me like, no, it's the other girl. It's the other. And then I was just like, oh, no, great. Like, I was like, yeah
you're like,
rain so on you're me. Not the stripper? You're not the stripper, huh?
Yeah. I know. He was like, it's good to see you again. And she was like, nice to meet you. He's like, no, we met. I was like behind him like.
It was bad, dude. It was so bad. But no, man, it was cool. She's very, you know what though? She's one of these girls that, like, when she goes out in public, doesn't look like she's not. Cause I used to date a girl that would wear like see-through everything and a thong, and her fucking tits are out. And I get in like 6 fights a night because guys would be like, hey, and I'd be like, hey, watch, she's with me. And it was like, no, but this girl's cool. Like, she doesn't, you know, like, she doesn't wear the most provocative stuff. I mean, on Instagram, it's a whole different story. But in public, she's very presentable. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to date a girl that dresses like a hooker all the time, but not all the time.
Got it.
How much does she make on Instagram per month? Come on, ballpark. What does she make on Instagram per month with all those followers? Come on.
I don't know, but she does well.
She has her own fitness program though too.
Okay.
Yeah, like she has her own app for a nutrition app. So she does all my diet stuff and workouts.
Does she do your nutritionist?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she's like, you got to eat pussy all day long. And so,
I'm okay with it.
Of course.
Omega 3s.
Now, Chris, by the way, so if you haven't seen Chris's last fights, he's been on a tear. He won 3 out of 4 fights. Now, Chael Sonnen, I know you and Chael the boys. He said that during your fight, he's like, you know, I love Chris. We're all there. He's really overperforming right now. And I'm like, that's bullshit. Like, did you take that personally that you were overperforming?
No. I was interested to hear his commentary when he told me he was commentating. Because I got lived with him for a minute. We've trained a bunch together. And so I was interested to hear his commentary. Because, you know, when you're a commentator, you got to be, like, unbiased.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, oh, this is my buddy. Everything he does is great. So we were joking about it, laughing about it after. It's great. I think he's one of the best commentators, actually.
Totally. Now,
what does that mean, overperforming, by the way? What does that mean, overperforming?
I don't actually know.
He said he was fighting the best he's ever fought, like, or top, like, better than he's ever performed, right? But, I also think that sometimes, Chris, you get into these crazy brawls that you don't necessarily have to do, which I love watching. But am I right? Sometimes you could be a little smarter. Dustin, am I right?
Say it again. Sorry, I was in the zone.
Sometimes we get into brawls and we can be a little smarter about it.
Yeah, man. It's the fighter inside for me anyway. When I get into a brawl or somebody gets me, you know, hits me good, we start going. It's the fighter inside me that gets going. And you got to be able to control that because Michael Chandler, his ego cost him that fight with Gaethje. You know, he got in that firefight. He put his hand on me, you know. I said, well, dude, you can't be the guy getting punched in the face and expect to win, or you don't want to be the guy eating those punches either, man. That does damage. I tell you what, man, I'm shampooing my hair in the shower. You know, here we are a week and a half later. I still feel the knots in my head for my fight the 6th of November. So
wow.
You got to be careful in there, man.
Now,
Go ahead.
Now, Dustin, are you Usman's striking coach too?
Say it again.
Are you Usman's striking coach? Usman?
Usman? Yeah. What about Usman?
Are you his striking coach?
No, I'm not Usman's striking coach. I bet he takes notes when he watches me fight, though. He gets that jab going.
got it. You guys don't train with him over in Colorado?
No, we don't train with him. He's at a different gym at with Gaethje at, what is it?
Elevation.
Elevation.
I go over there and spar sometimes, but not with him.
Who do you spar with over there?
His brother sometimes, Muhammad Usman, Grant Neal, a bunch of those guys. It's always different. There's always guys in and out of town.
Yeah. Now, your brother, by the way, came to my show too. And yeah. I was giving him such a hard time. His brother's an awesome guy. Also has a beautiful wife. And his wife's a fighter, right?
Yeah. So she fights professionally too.
Now he's going to be a cop?
Yeah. So he's almost done with the police academy here in Denver. So after all those jokes, you better watch your back next time you come back.
I can't believe that there's going to be a cop in your family.
So my dad was a cop.
Really?
Yeah, my dad was an Oakland cop and then transferred out here to Denver.
Wow. Dude, he's such a badass, by the way. He told me back in the day, if he got cut by the UFC, he was going to fight every week in a different promotion. Didn't matter who. He was just going to – every single week this guy wanted to fight. Like, he's – like, he was born in the wrong era. You should have been, like, a caveman or a fucking –
a gladiator.
Dude, he's such a badass. That's the thing. When even when, like, even when you fought Sword Eye, I was like, this is his fight. Like, you're one of those dudes that, like you said, sometimes you shouldn't get in the brawls, but I feel like you're one of the toughest guys ever that you're going to win most of the brawls, if not all of them.
I hope so. That's always the plan. It doesn't always go up. It doesn't always work out, but, dude, you know, I feel like getting called durable is not always, like, the best thing. You know, it's not – I feel like it's like a backhanded compliment, because being durable means people have seen you get your ass beat and, like, not die. So sometimes I'm like, well, I don't know if that's, like, a great thing or not. I feel you, man.
Is it hard to control the fighter in you when you're out in the real world and, like, people look at your girl or anything like that? Does it ever come up, or are you, like, totally chill?
It's not too hard unless it's, like –
No, he's a psycho. No, he's a psycho. You told me that at one point four guys punch you in the face at bars. Like, they go up to the hill, they go, let's take a picture, and they square off, and, like, at least four guys punched you. Am I right?
I don't think that was me.
No, you told me that – you told me you got, like, guys who punch you all the time, and you get in all these fights.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it doesn't happen as much anymore, but, like, it used to. There was, like, all my friends had a joke, like, years and years ago that – I would get, like, cold clocked by people at bars, like, out of nowhere for no reason. I think it's just because I'm, like, I always look like I'm having fun, I'm happy, but I'm, like, big, so people think that I'm, like, because I'm smiling and laughing, that I'll probably be, like, pussy. I don't know. I've been sucker punched a lot for no reason at all. Like, never say.
That's crazy. Who the fuck did you sucker punch him?
I'm an adult now.
Well, listen, Chris, it's an honor to have you. Have fun pheasant hunting. I love you, man. You're the best.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Hey, we'll go kill some shit.
Anytime. Yeah. Take care, Dustin. All right,
see you,
brother.
Thanks, you, man. Good chat.
Thank you. All right. Who the fuck would sucker punch that guy?
I can't believe it. How big is he? How tall is he?
He's like 6'1", and he's fucking like 205.
Oh, so he fights light heavyweight.
Yeah, 185 and also 205. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. What's the name?
Maybe he's wearing a Confederate flag T-shirt when he gets sucker punched. Might be more to the story.
Oh, man, how you doing, Bill?
I'm doing good, man. I'm here in New York. I'm sorry I'm late.
It's all good, man. You doing that TV show still?
Yeah, City on the Hill. They're killing me off. They're killing me off pretty fast.
You've been like 8 episodes.
No. I thought it was going to be maybe like 5 or 6, but it's just. I think it's like maybe 4.
Well, we're here with a guy, Grant Dawson. This kid, what is he, 15-1?
16-17.
17-1. His last fight, he scared the shit out of me. Who'd you fight? What's his name again?
Ricky Glenn.
Ricky Glenn. Very durable, tough guy. Yeah. And I knew it. I was like, you know, this guy is one of those dudes that's always in the fight. And Grant beat him the first 2 rounds, pretty easy. And then, what, you got bored? So you said, let him put me in a guillotine. Is that what happened? You were just like, you know what, this is too easy. I'm going to like play positions and stuff and put myself in bad situations. Is that what happened?
No, man. What happened was, in the 3rd round, I just kept thinking to myself, I'm clearly up 2. As long as I don't get knocked out, I'm going to win this fight. I started shooting on him, and I started, like, trying to get him down again, and I couldn't get him down. He almost caught me really clean with a knee, and I was like, man, I can't afford to eat one of those again. And I have this thing where I shoot a single leg, and they sprawl, and I sit to my hip, and I limp arm out to take the back. And he caught my foot as I was trying to do it. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to chill in this position for a second. Don't do anything crazy. And I look over, and I see there's, like, you know, 2 minutes left. I was like, well, I've already lost this round. If we get up, he's just going to try to throw flying knees at me, and he's got a better shot of knocking me out than he does of submitting me. So I stayed on my back. It was a bad deal. It was a bad choice. It was something that I don't preach doing. It's something that I completely regret doing, but it was what I thought was best at the moment, and I'm going to have to live with that. And I don't think that it was a 10-8 round, in my opinion, but that's the way it goes. I had his back for – 3 minutes and 30 seconds of the first round, I landed 66 punches to two, and they didn't give me a 10-8 in the first. So I don't know how they gave him a 10-8 in the second, or in the third, but
so it is a draw.
It was a draw.
You think it's one of those things where the judges were being emotional, where they were like, it was almost like they, like sometimes when a guy gets his ass kicked and he comes back, and even if he loses, you give him the close one because he kind of a thing.
Yeah, I mean, we see it all the time where it's – not all the time, but we see it a lot where it's like a guy will get his ass kicked, you know, for two rounds, and then the third round, he still loses the round, but he doesn't get his ass kicked as much. So the judges, like, give him the round, and you're kind of just like, wait. I mean, he did better that round, but I don't think he won the round. Ricky for sure won the round against me, clear as day, but I don't think it was a 10-8. It is what it is. All I can do is learn from it and move on. You know how it is. You tell your wrestler all the time. You just got to move on from it.
100%.
Were the commentators complaining about the scoring after the fight? Like, was it universally maligned?
No, they were arguing. I think one guy had a 10-8. The other guy said, no, it's 10-9. It was also one of those things where he was so up, the commentators weren't even talking about the fight at one point. And then they're like, oh, shit, he's losing this round. It was one of those things where it was like, not that serious till it was, but at the end, how close were you to getting choked out? Were you getting lightheaded at all or no?
Adam, if there had been 10 more, if there had been 3 more seconds, I would have been completely unconscious. I have no problem admitting that because, we play to those rules. If there was no such things as rounds, if it was just a 15-minute long fight, I would have had his back for 15 minutes because he was not.
I think that was the problem because when you got up slow. And you looked a little bit like dazed. So then people were probably just like, oh, 10-8. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
If you would have, you know, sprung to your feet and be like, but you were giving the ref a thumbs up.
Yeah. No, I remember everything. I was in the choke. And it was funny because the way that he positioned my head, I could see the timer. And I was like, oh, it was 14 seconds left. And I was like, no way, I'm good, no way. And he's cranking on my neck. I was like, ah, my neck hurts, but I'll be fine. And I heard the ref say, give me a thumbs up. And this actually happened in my brain. I did this because my arm fell like this. And I said, oh, shit, he's going to be thinking that I'm giving a thumbs down. And then I was like, wait, I would just tap.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, no, it's a thumbs up. I swear I'm trying. But, yeah, and then I started getting lightheaded, but as soon as he let go, I was just exhausted, and I kind of laid back to, you know, rub my eyes and chill, and I look up, and he's standing over me saying, he's out, and I was like,
yeah,
wait,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, he did do that. So looking back, what would you have done different?
Man, I'm not exaggerating when I say this. He did not hit me one time on the feet with his hands. He kicked me a bunch, and those kicks hurt, but he didn't touch me one time with his hands. And I just did a really bad job reading that in the third. If I could go back in between rounds and tell myself one thing, it'd be like, look, man, he's not hitting you. You have a better chance of winning this fight if you just stay on the outside and pick him apart and be elusive and move your head, you know. But I could feel them like whiffing by me. I was like, man, he's putting some heat on those. Like, I better, you know, play it safe and.
I tell my situations where like the anxiety of the fear got the best of you almost than the actual reality.
It was almost like my last fight because my last fight, you know, I had two very close rounds. I didn't know if I was up or down. So I went for it in the third. Then I knocked him out with 1 second left. And so then I kept thinking back to that, like, man, just don't get knocked out with 1 second left. Just don't get knocked out. And I thought that the better, like, I was like, he's got a better chance of knocking me out than he does of submitting me. So let's make it so that he can't knock me out. And so I sat to that single, like I was telling you, I was trying to do, he caught me and I was like, well, I've already lost the round, you know, let's just play it safe. Cause again, I took a shot on him and we come up and he tries to knee me and he hit my chest. And I was like, ooh, that was hard. Like if that had hit my chin, that would have been bad. So it just kind of got to me, you know? And, you know, I talked to Paul Felder afterward and what's that?
You know how good you are, though? Like, you're so good. Like, you act like these guys, like, you. I think you miscalculate how much damage you're doing to other people, too.
Yeah, yeah. And watching the fight back, I still have not seen the third round. I've watched the first two rounds. I still have not seen the third round. But watching it back, I was kind of like, man. And that's James Krause. You know him. You know, yeah. You're a good friend. And he told me, he was like, dude, like, what do you, like, you got to get over this idea that you can't strike with people. Like you got to get over this absurd, you know, thing in your brain that says that you have to wrestle people. And it's just, it's not true. And I need to, it's definitely.
It did seem you were treating the third round as a wrestling match.
Well, to be fair, I was treating the first two rounds as a wrestling match as well.
Hey, Grant. So I have a question for you, Grant. So, I mean, guillotines are probably the most exercised submissions in, like, you know, MMA and definitely in jiu-jitsu. And I feel like a lot of people don't really take them that seriously. Did it surprise you? Because I'm sure people try to guillotine you all the time. Did he have something different with his guillotine? Was it, what type of guillotine was it? Was anything special that he did?
Well, he had a darce on me, actually. And what happens is when you, so when there's an anaconda or a guillotine, you can fight the hands, right? Yeah. Because hands are in front, but with a darce, it goes behind you. And they're actually a lot harder to get, I think, than a guillotine or a darce, I'm sorry, or an anaconda. But when you do get them, they're a lot tighter because you have nothing to fight. And so when he's at, I thought like, you know, there's no way he's going to choke me out. Like, this is going to crank on my neck. And then he started getting tight, so I started kicking off of his foot and trying to roll. But by then, the timer ran out. And, yeah, I was exhausted. And I'll tell you straight to your face, man, if there had been more time, he would have choked me unconscious. But there wasn't. Those are the rules we agreed to.
You know what? You're learning lessons on the job, though, man, which is really cool. And you're learning them without getting the shit beaten out of you. I mean, you know, some people learn a lesson, they get knocked out cold, and then their chin gets tested. You're learning lessons with, like, almost getting – choked out, which happens 35 times a practice in jiu-jitsu. And so you're not losing brain cells and you're gaining valuable time. You also had a very short amateur career. And what are you, 24, 25?
I'm 27, making me sound old now.
No, 27, you're 27. You're not even hitting your peak. I mean, especially in like MMA right now, it's like you see guys 34, 35. They're
fine. Sure.
So, I mean, this is invaluable. So I think that, like you say, I don't lose, I learn. I wouldn't even take this as a loss, but now you know to not coast.
Right.
But at the same time, I've seen so many fights where if the guy would have just fucking coasted, I mean, if Chael Sonnen would have coasted against Anderson Silva, he would have been the champion.
Or, I was just about to bring that up. I was just about to say, you know, but then you get guys like, which is crazy because Chael is such a hero of mine. Chael is such an inspiration to me, and he would never coast. He would never, you know, lay on his back with another man between his legs, as he says, you know, like,
right.
And I get it, man. I made a mistake and I learned from it.
But it's one of those things where sometimes it's hard because especially me, because every time I do something, I'm like, yeah, but I could always find the rationale for the other side. That's one of the hardest things about anything right now is that everybody was like, either you're for Rittenhouse or you're against him. And then, like, so me, I can sort of see both sides to the situation, which is fucked up because I don't have a really strong opinion either way. But same thing with comes to watching fights. I can go, well, I could see why he's tired. He's up to, he's a better wrestler. He got him down the first time. Granted, 70% is still better than, you know, this other guy's wrestling at 80%. I could see why you did it. But at the same time, you're like, you're right. I know exactly what you meant. You limp arm through, you get the back, but your foot gets stuck. So what do you do? You do that against the, you get him against the cage and do it. You use the cage as that one way you could have done it.
Man, I think that if I could tell myself, hey, change something as soon as it didn't, I don't mind that I went for that move. I'm really good at that move in practice. I've just never had to use it in a fight. And so I think that one thing that I would tell myself if I could change it was, the limp arm doesn't work, post, look to get your feet out. Cause he would have stood back up with me cause he wants to strike. And then as we're standing up, do what you're saying, shoot again, push him against the cage and maybe even just stall on the cage. Like if I had just hugged him on the cage a couple of times, gotten a few breakups, you know, like I'm not against stalling if you're winning. I just need to be smarter about how I do it. You know, I was like, there's no way. Cause you in the middle of a competition or the middle of a fight, the last thing you're thinking is a draw. The only thing you can think is I either win or I lose. That's it. Yeah. The idea of a 10-8 round or the idea of a draw never even fathomly popped into my head. You know, like I've always known I'm going to lose a decision I thought I won. I'm going to win a decision I thought I lost. That's just what happens in this sport. It's going to happen, but never did I ever imagine that I would ever go to a draw. And it's kind of it's like, yeah, you didn't lose, but you also you fucked to a draw. I guess it means
what? You're 17-1. Is that that's your record?
17-1-1. Yep.
I mean, that's a fucking record. If you like, I mean, you're right there. You're right there. What's up, people? Look, when I gamble, I'm always looking for a way to get an edge. But at MyBookie, they double your first deposit. So you start with a leg up. And with your account locked and loaded, you can get in on the UFC 268 action, which features two title fights on a stacked card. I can't wait because the tension between Usman and Covington has reached a boiling point. I mean, these guys hate each other. So look for this main event to end quickly and bet the under on total rounds. Don't take my word for it, okay? Head to MyBookie and sign up to use promo code MMAROASTED to get your money doubled and start winning today. And remember, people, good friends don't let friends win alone. So have your buddies use the referral link so you're eligible to receive an additional 250% bonus on their first deposit. Plus, it's unlimited to redeem. So all your friends can join the party at MyBookie. Use promo code MMAROASTED. Sign up now, claim your first deposit bonus with MyBookie, and use the extra funds to kickstart your winning season. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Go there now.
Yeah.
By the way, his girlfriend is like a superhero because she's this little nerdy girl who looks like she should be like in band camp. And then all of a sudden, she's a fighter and she's just fucking wrecking people left and right. She's like a professional bodybuilder. You would never know it. Like I thought these two were like two little nerds. And then they're like, at the end, they're just going around fucking everyone up. You guys are like superheroes.
Yeah, now we're an engaged superhero. So
hey, congrats. Yeah.
Thank you.
And if you don't know this guy's story, he used to work at an old age home. He was like a nurse at an old age home, and then finally 2 years ago retired. And
didn't we interview you before, Grant? I felt like we interviewed you before.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, Grant's killing the game. So what does Kraus say to you after the fight?
Man, right after the fight, he said, it's okay, we won. You know, he won the third for sure, but we won the first two, no problem. And then the judges said that, so it was 29-28 for me. And you know how when they read your name, it's usually a split decision. And so they read my name, and I was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to go to a split decision with this guy. What in the world? And then they said, I didn't hear the scorecard. I didn't hear 28-28. I just heard them read the scorecard for both judges. And I was like, oh my God, I just lost this fight. Like I just lost. Like, how is that possible? And then they're like, it's a draw. And a part of me was like, oh, thank goodness I didn't lose. But then a part of me was like, what the fuck is a draw? Like what do you mean? Like our sport is the only sport where you can legitimately score more points than the other guy and not win. Like, if you add up all of our points, I scored one more point than him and still didn't win. You know, like it's such a crazy sport. It's so nuts. And I love it, but sometimes I just want to drive a stake through my heart because of it.
Well, that's what makes you great, man. So this week, let's talk about some fights this week. Oh, by the way, you know who had some good things to say about you? We had him on the podcast was the caveman, Dave Rickles.
Oh, nice.
He said he trained with you, and he was really impressed with you. He said before, he knew how good you were, but he didn't know if you had that killer instinct, that you were too nice. But but he said now he, like, knows. What's going on? Are you too nice to everybody? Are you parking everyone's car? Why are people saying that?
Man, I am too nice. You know what's funny is in my last fight, I realized that I was too nice, and I decided to make a change. And what happened was we were in the middle of the third round. My fight before, not Ricky, the Santos fight. We were in the middle of the third round, we're going up, and the dude posts on me, and he puts his finger right in my eye. And I was like, ah, dang. And he goes, that didn't hurt that bad. And I said, yeah, you're right, I'm sorry. And then I was like watching it back, and I was like, apologized to another grown man for him poking me in the eye. Like,
are you from Canada?
No. Nebraska, which is worse.
Oh my God. That's crazy. They call it a simp. They call you a simp. Is that what you? Maybe that should be like your like nickname, like Grant.
So simp. I'm just supposed to go all in on the nice guy.
Yeah, yeah, go all in, like Grant the cop. They'll call you like the cop or the fucking like. That's
me. Cool. Me and Wonder Boy.
Oh my
god! The nice squad.
Who do you like?
Oh man,
like Wonder Boy or Bilal?
Yeah, who's the other one? Luke. He's supposed to be super nice too. And Burns. Burns is like super nice. I like Burns a lot. He comments on all my shit. I like him.
Now, who do you think is going to win, by the way? Burns or Chimaev?
You got to go with Burns, right? This dude has been competing at the high level. He's fought Usman. He's fought Wonder Boy. He's fought the best of the best. And not just in MMA. He grapples, too. He's grappled against Gary Tonin. He's grappled against Craig Jones. He's grappled against just the list goes on and on. He's competing at the highest level in two sports. Khamzat has not competed at the highest level in either sport. You know, like I've looked at his wrestling resume and I can't see any amazing wrestling guys that he's beat or competed against. I do think that he's good. And I do think that it's going to be a very competitive first round, but I'm going to take Gilbert by submission. And I think that the Khamzat train will get derailed.
What do you think, Bill?
I can't in my heart bet against these crazy Russians. They have some weird DNA. They fight bears. I just every time I bet against them, I lose. So I'm sorry, man. Burns seems like a nice guy, but oh man.
Yeah, but this guy, other guy, is from like a favela. I mean, he's fucking Brazilian. Burns is like, I think the story with Burns, I believe it was like somebody was fixing his car, and his dad. I'm not sure if it was Burns or Diego or the Lima brothers, but one of the brothers. The dad basically gave him like gave him jiu-jitsu lessons in exchange for like car payments or something, and that's how they like learned how to fight. It's like it was crazy. So all right, this week, Vieira versus Misha Tate. Misha Tate, by the way, this is chapter two. She's looking great. I mean, she has two kids. She's fucking ripped right now. She dropped Brian Caraway. That was a lot of drama between her and Caraway on both ways. Then I think Caraway got arrested for like stealing his ATV back from her or something. It was like they kept stealing it from each other. I like Misha a lot. Who do we like in this fight? Caitlin Vieira, Misha Tate, Grant Dawson.
Man, I like Misha. I think that she's got good wrestling, and I think that she's kind of got her head on straight now. I feel like she's dropped the ball on a couple of fights, you know, like she fought Raquel Pennington and lost to her, and kind of after that fight she said, you know, I just don't have it anymore. I just don't have that want anymore. And I think that's what you really need in fights, is the want to be there. And I think that taking time off and dumping Caraway or whatever it is and marrying this other guy, like I really think that kind of researched her. Now, I don't think she's going to go win a belt or anything like that, but I do think that she could get a couple wins. I do think that she can win this fight. I picked against her in her last fight, and I was proven wrong, so I'm gonna pick Misha.
I don't know if she's married to the other guy, by the way, Johnny. I know that they have two kids together. She also said she wants to fight Ronda again, because she knows how to beat Ronda. But at that point, I mean, does that even count?
No one cares anymore.
All right, Bill Dawes, who do we like in this one?
I mean, I like the idea of Misha Tate winning just as a blow for moms everywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they can do it.
She has that like cougar. I get like, Grant, if it doesn't ever work out with your girl and Misha ever breaks up with them, I think there's like a some kind of a porn film. But like, you're like the young guy. Her hair comes over. Like Misha.
I'm liking it.
Yeah. Misha Tate does like, there's something very attractive about her, because she looks like the kind of person that would like complain, and then just like tie you down and just bang the shit out of you and then tell you to like leave. And
just the leaving.
That's what every guy wants, of course. But Misha's always been like, even when she was trying to be a good girl, like she was always like at the strip club. Like she'd always have her after parties at the strip club and hung out with porn stars and shit. So Misha always had that wild side to her. Michael Chiesa versus Sean Brady. So this kid, Bill, he's 14-0. He's like a tough Irish kid from Philly that's just been knocking everyone out. He looks like almost like one of those movies with like, what's his name? Who's that actor that's like the fucking, like a bare knuckle brawler? Like those guys in those Irish boxing movies or MMA movies, Warrior, whatever. He kind of reminds me of a fucking guy from Warrior. He's
Tom Hardy?
Yeah, like Tom Hardy.
He does. Tom Hardy.
Like a real life Tom Hardy, this guy. Fucking Chiesa, he just fought Luque. I mean, this dude fights everybody. He doesn't give a shit. I really want Chiesa to win. Brady hasn't been tested. This is a tall order. Grant, talk to me.
I've got to go with Sean Brady. And the only reason is because I think that this kid is more well-rounded. He is a very, very good wrestler, but he can also strike really well. I really think that he just does everything together, whereas Chiesa kind of only uses his striking to set up his takedown. I know, look who's talking. However, I think that Sean Brady is going to be able to stuff those shots. He's big. He's strong. Chiesa is also big, but there's no way Chiesa is going to make or there's no way Sean Brady would ever be able to make 155 unless he was in third grade. And so I've really got to take Sean Brady on this one. And I actually think that he's going to be a future UFC champion someday.
By the way, he never wrestled in high school, this kid?
Shut up. Really?
Yeah. No wrestling background.
Just MMA?
Just he took jiu-jitsu and karate. And
that's like George St. Pierre, right? Same thing.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
But Bill, who like this fight, Chiesa or Brady?
I mean, Grant seems very smart, so I'm going to agree with Grant on this one. I haven't seen Brady fight, but.
Dude, he's just one of these guys that came out of nowhere. But he didn't have it. Could you look at the guys he's beaten? Like, he beat Colton Smith like 5 years ago in some like rinky-dink organization. Like, he's just, even like the fights he had to get into the UFC were not easy fights.
Like, he's good.
Colton Smith, by the way, is a guy that like won the Ultimate Fighter, and you're like, where is he now? Good fighter. Yeah. Some guys just get bad matchups. They just get fucking bad matchups.
Isn't that crazy about this
money
sport?
Money, fame, and so crazy.
But he had none of that. What were you saying, Chris?
I was just going to say, isn't it crazy how this sport where it's like you get these really, really good guys. I train with this guy named Cole Smith, and he's from Canada, and he's a 35er, got into the UFC, beat two guys, and then had like murderer's row. He fought Hunter Azu, if you don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Savage, went to a split decision with him. You know, he gets cut from the UFC, and then I train with this dude. I'm like, how are you not in the UFC? Like, how are you? You are amazing. Like, what in the world happened? It's just one of those like bad luck things. That's what's crazy about this sport.
Yeah, the worst is when guys like, I mean, Anthony Smith was like that for a while, where he took a fight on like short notice against a Brazilian that like tested positive for something in Brazil and then lost. And then
got his knee destroyed.
Yeah, and then he got cut and then came back. I'm so happy he came back, but there's a lot of guys. I remember having Anthony Smith on my podcast, and I text him like, hey, thanks for coming. He goes, thanks for giving a shit about my fights, which was like, and the one time I had him join this thing for me, and I'm like, hey, he's just the nicest dude. He's one of the guys that will, like, he'll take your call whenever. Like, he'll take – anybody that's a good, good guy. Like, he's a solid, solid guy. That's why when he could have won the belt against Jon Jones, but he didn't.
Yeah.
Remember that? Like, that's just the kind of guy he is.
And that's the other thing, too, is, like, if you think about it, he was beating Glover until he wasn't. But, like, Glover's the champ now. That makes Anthony, like, the second-best dude in the division. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I don't understand Glover. There's a guy who, like I said, you haven't hit your peak yet. He's hitting it at, what, 43?
Yeah.
44?
I think 43 or 42.
I don't even know how that happens. So Davy Grant is a guy who I believe was from England, became a DJ in England, and then, like, started a business, doesn't need fighting, just does it because he loves it. He's fighting Adrian Yanez, who's looking like a world beater as of late. Who do we like in this fight?
I like Adrian Yanez. I think that Grant is good. I do, but I think he's older. And I think one of the things that make him hard to deal with is he's got a really awkward style and he puts a little pop in his punches. But I think that if you stay real technical and you got some good striking, I think you'll do well against him. So I'm going to take Adrian on this. Funny story. Every time Davy Grant fights, I get tagged in all of his posts because my name is Grant Dawson. And so they see Grant and then a D and they're like, oh, this has to be him every single time. So I comment on there, I'm not Davy Grant.
No, you should comment as him. Like John Jones, there's a guy, Bill, John Jones, right? This white, nerdy computer programmer, right? And he's just like the nicest guy. He's like kind of like an emo kind of guy. Like he's like a vegan and all these cats. And every time John Jones gets up, people were like, fuck you, John Jones, you piece of shit. You're the worst human being ever. And he responds like, I know, I had extra peanut butter on my sandwich. Like, it's the funniest. I'm not even doing it justice. He was on SportsCenter as him. It was so it's so funny. People are like, you let me down. I can't believe you cheated. And they'll be like, I know. In Mario Kart, I was at level 5. And like,
that's great, man.
Dude, he's the greatest guy ever. He actually took a couple jujitsu classes and started like training. And he like has been to fights before. This dude is hilarious. Nicest guy ever. But he's like, people, and then the funny guy, like, and then people are like, his DMs are just hilarious. It's just constant people like, you're the biggest cheater. You're the biggest piece of shit. Fuck you. I hope you die. And then he'll be like, listen, I'm a Buddhist and I understand where you're coming. It's just so funny, dude. So
I love the people also DM him. People are like direct messaging, threatening him. That's hilarious.
Oh, he's the best. He's the best. He's great.
Do people not realize that he's a white dude? Like, with four followers? Like,
somebody once said, somebody once said to him, like, this like black dude was like, fuck you, blah, 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 blah. And then he wrote back and he goes, the guy goes, oh, you're that white, and then N-word. Like, he's like, what?
Like, dude, oh my goodness, that's hilarious.
Anytime John Jones gets arrested, he goes, I just quickly on to his thing, he goes, oh, not this again. Like, oh, no. It's just, like, the funniest. And then finally, like, somebody was, like, the actual – because John Jones blocked him. And then finally, the real John Jones, the fighter, goes, I think you mean the other John Jones. Like, he actually acknowledged him one time. By the way, John Jones, the real one, is training with Henry Cejudo now. He went over to that camp to – the fight camp in Arizona, fight, whatever it's called. And I'm curious. And he's saying, man, he says it's like a whole new eye-opening experience. He's learning things he's never learned. He's really trying to like dig it to Jackson Winklejohn. But I'm curious to see what's going to happen. I truly am. Because it's not like a guy who's you know, fucking up his fight career is going to a bad camp. He's undefeated. So I want to see what they're – the hardest thing to do is coach someone who's already good. Especially someone as good as John Jones, because I don't want to fuck up anything he's doing. Like, I don't know what to tell. Like, I don't know if I had a wrestler that was a state champion, got kid, I would be like, do whatever you're doing is working. We're just gonna get you in shape and maybe here and there. But it's hard to coach. It's much easier to take someone who knows nothing and give them something than to take someone who's really good. And especially if someone has really good bad habits, like the bad habits are working for them. That's even hard. That's even harder because you're like, ugh. Fuck, you know, it's like in wrestling, someone's on bottom and I'm always like, don't reach back unless you're down 13-0 or 14-0 and then throw a Hail Mary, you know, and then it works and you're like, oh no. It's like teaching the head and arm. So I hate teaching it, but that's all the kids will go for it. Every time they'll go for the head and arm. But then it works and you're like, oh shit. So, yeah. I'm sure what were you saying?
Some of the thing you gotta think though, it's like maybe they're not adding to his technique, but they're getting him away from what's dragging him down, you know, where he's at, you know, like maybe he needs to get away from the people that are getting him in so much trouble.
Oh,
you know?
But what do you tell him as far as like his actual, because he's saying he's learning fight things that he's never learned before. Like what are they teaching John Jones?
Probably a double leg and stuff. Like, I don't know. And to go off your point with headlocks, I don't think you should ever teach a kid a headlock. I think because it's an easy move that doesn't require a lot of energy, but it's a black and white move. So it's like, if you teach this kid, hey, you don't have to get in on the double leg and stuff like that. Like, I agree with you. I think that it should be a Hail Mary move, like at best, you know?
Well, the thing is, I always teach how to defend it, like how to just roll through it, you know?
Yeah. But
at the same time, it's like, you know, there's been plenty of times where I'm like, kids down 10 to, there was a coach that I hated. This coach was like having his middle school kids cheat with the weights. Like he was like fudging the weights. He was always yelling at the wrong kids. He was having middle school kids cut weight. So I'm like, dude, you know, they have their whole life to cut weight. You don't start them in middle school. And my kid was down like 13-5. And I'm like, you got to throw him the win. And he fucking threw him. And he won. And we were all going crazy. And I look over and the coach is like, you were up 2 rounds and you let a kid throw you. And just screaming at this kid. And I was like, that is not how I would have handled that. Like,
yeah, what a piece of shit.
If my kid loses like that, I would have been like, hey, man, you were up 2-3. You just got caught. Well, you know, Monday practice. We'll work on
this. We'll fix it.
It's, you know, because the kid feels bad enough.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing, you know, I have told kids, like, hey, see how you feel. You know how you feel right now? Remember this and use this to train harder. You know, remember how bad it feels. And every time you want to quit, you don't want to have this feeling back. You know?
Yeah, this could have been avoided. Yeah.
You know, it's hard, and especially with like kids. I had a kid ask me the other day. He goes, Coach, I have a question. He goes, what? He goes, what happens is if I can't get a boner anymore with my girlfriend? I was like, means you're married? I'm like, what? Like, why would you ask?
How old is this kid? How old is he?
He was 13. I guess he's not getting a boner with his girlfriend anymore. Someone told him to ask me this after I'm teaching a single leg. And he's like, any questions? And he goes, yeah. And then I'm like, okay, all right, no more questions right after that. But I'm like, why would he ask?
Like, that kid's trying to get you on a list, Adam.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a cool kid, though. He, like, paints his fingernails. Yes, the kid has, like, 2 girlfriends. He paints his fingernails. He's a pretty solid kid.
That kid's gay, just so you know. Already happening.
Terrence McKinney is fighting. Now, Terrence McKinney is a guy that knocked out his last 3 opponents in, like, under a minute. He's fighting Farah Ziam. Now, Terrence is a guy. He's now becoming a star. He's on social media all the time. He's making jokes. Is there a danger of him falling in love with his power and getting exposed because now he's just knocking everybody out and that's what he's going for? Grant.
You know, I know both of these guys. I can't pronounce the other dude's name, but he's a really good striker. And I do think that if Terrence tries to strike with him, I don't think that Terrence will ever be in any danger, like, of getting stopped, but I do think he'll get picked apart over time. What a lot of people don't know, just because of what he did to Matt Favola, is Terrence can wrestle. That dude can wrestle like a mother effer. Like, he is a very, very high level wrestler. And I think that that's one thing that he should definitely show in this fight. Don't fall in love with your hands. Don't, you know, chase the knockout. Chase winning, winning rounds and beating people up. And that's where your knockout will come. Once you get a good striker down and you beat him up for a round, then you change your levels. Everything drops. There's your knockout. You know he's got knockout power. We know he's got hands. Don't forget what got you to the dance.
He was that guy. Remember, Bill, he was on the podcast. He said he got tased by the cops for taking
acid
and, like, died 3 times. And then his mom was going to kill him because he, like, went to jail and the whole thing. Yeah, he's had a crazy life, this dude.
That's Terrence?
Yeah, Terrence.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's crazy.
He got kicked off his wrestling team because of it in college. He was just –
That's the thing.
Dude, it's funny, man. Like, that happens all the time. That guy, Ian Heinrich – he's the guy that like was smuggling cocaine up his ass to Colombia and was like in prison in like the Canary Islands. And then also he was dealing ecstasy in the US, then went to Rikers Island. So I was telling somebody that he trains over in Florida at Sanford MMA. And I was like, oh yeah, Ian. He's like, he's my training partner. I'm like, oh, the guy's like, really? He goes, I thought he was a nice Christian guy. Like, I guess you don't tell people that like on your first day, but his teammates had no idea. Maybe I ruined it for his teammates, but I was telling him, like, no.
Yeah, so you were out of the effort. No.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, he was the guy that was smuggling cocaine and balloons up his asshole. Or I guess he was swallowing them. He was swallowing them, and then they were coming out his asshole, which, I mean, there's got to be a better way. It's 2021. So Natan Levy, who is Jewish, he's Israeli. He's the only Israeli guy, I think, in the UFC right now. He's 6-0, undefeated, karate master. He's fighting on Rafa Garcia. Hopefully Natan wins. Do you know anything about Rafa Garcia?
I'm not super familiar.
Okay. Well, he'll be wins. I'm
not super familiar with either.
And then also Lupi Godinez. She's a girl from Mexico. This is her 3rd fight in a month and a half in the U.S. Her name is Lupi. She's trained over in Canada, in Vancouver, also in Mexico. She just fought on 1 week notice, fought back to back. And now she's fighting Loma Lookboonme. Do we know anything about these guys? Grant.
Is she the one with the neck tattoo, like the super black? No,
that's a different one. I like that girl.
She got knocked out in her last fight, but she's a really good wrestler. I like her. But no, I don't know a whole lot about her either. I don't watch women's fights as much as I watch guys.
And then Cody Durden is fighting. You know Cody?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know anything about Cody?
What? Who's he fighting?
He's fighting Aori Quileg. Quileg?
I'm not super familiar with that, but I like Cody, so I'm going to pick him.
And me too. And then coming up December 4th, we got Rob Font versus Jose Aldo.
I'm taking Aldo, man. I took him against Munoz, and I love Munoz to death. I think he's one of the best fighters in the division. But after what he did to Mark Munoz, or I'm sorry, Pedro Munoz, how do you, like, it looks like he's almost got, like, his youth back. Like, he looks so good. Looks so good in that fight. I'm going to pick Aldo, man. I'm not betting against that, man.
Yeah.
Bill?
I love Aldo. I mean, he's one of the few fighters who I met. And this was, like, right after he lost to Connor. And he was like, I'm getting my belt back. He just looked at me in the face and was like, I'm getting my – and I was like, I believe him. He's getting it back.
Wait, did you ask him this, or he just went up to you and told you that?
I said, hey man, I was being a dad. I said tough loss. I think I was a little drunk, but he said, I'm getting my belt back. But he was really cool, and I was like, you know what? If someone's cool to me, who's a fighter after a loss, that I always got to root for him for life, you know. Yeah. And he's also an incredible fighter. I mean, his last fight was insane.
Yeah, he's insane.
December 11th. By the way, I will be in Vegas December 4th to the 11th, doing comedy at the Strat. But Charles Oliveira versus Dustin Poirier.
Oof.
I'm picking Dustin Poirier for this one. I don't know why. I mean, I don't know why. I just think he beats Charles Oliveira for some reason. Grant.
I'm going to go Dustin. Probably. Gun to my head, I'm going to go Dustin. But, man, Charles, he's good everywhere. Yeah. Like, he's got world-class jiu-jitsu. He's got above – you know, I wouldn't say, like, he's going to go out-wrestle Dan Gable or anything like that, but he can wrestle. He's out-wrestled a lot of guys in MMA, and he's made them look stupid. You know, he fought – so he's taken down Chandler, who is not easy to take down. And then he fought another dude – I can't remember his name. He's this black dude from Bellator who also fought Chandler. I can't remember his name. Will Brooks. He fought Will Brooks. And Chandler couldn't get Will Brooks down at all, and Oliveira got him down in 10 seconds and then choked him out. Like, he can wrestle.
He beat Chandler, he beat Ferguson, he beat Kevin Lee, Jared Gordon, Nick Lentz, David Tamura, Jim Miller, Christos Giagos. Those are his last, I mean, a murderer's row. Like,
yeah. And he's killed all of them.
Clay Guida, then he lost to Paul Felder. He beat Will Brooks, lost to Ricardo Lamas, lost to Anthony Pettis before that. But, yeah, I mean – Oliveira's—he's
a stud.
Yeah, Bill, who are we picking?
I mean, I got to go with the Jits guy, obviously, because that's what. Do you think this boils down to a striker versus Jits fighter?
Poirier's a Jits guy too, though. Poirier's a black belt under what? Eve Edwards.
So but there's black belt, and then there's black belt. Then there's like a very black belt. You know what I mean? There's a next level. I've never seen Poirier do, like, serious jiu-jitsu in any of his fights. I've never seen him win other than, like, I guess, RNCs.
I mean, he's so good at striking, right?
Yeah.
But, all his wins, you're right. He beat McGregor by strikes twice. A Dan Hooker decision. Lost to Khabib. Beat Holloway decision. Eddie Alvarez, he knocked out. Gaethje, he knocked out. Pettis, submission due to injury. Jim Miller decision, lost to Michael Johnson by punches. That was his last loss before Eddie no contest. Michael Johnson's a guy, man, who, like, one of those dudes that you're like, oh man, if only things would have went a couple different ways. I mean, you know, there's another guy. Yeah. So it's got to be frustrating to be his coach, because he's winning every fight and he loses. Every fight he's winning, like 5 minutes, 42 seconds, and then you're just like, oh. Something fucking, he just gets to a knee bar or something. He was like, ugh. Also, Juliana Pena versus Nunez. I'm calling it right now. Pena's going to win. She's going to win. She's my friend. Of course.
friend.
I don't care. She's winning. I fuck that. She's winning. And even if she's winning.
Yeah. And Grant, what do you think about the Colby Usman fight being a draw? What do you think about that theory?
Colby versus Usman?
I thought it should have been a draw. I thought I gave Usman 1-10-8 the second round, and then 3-4-5 Colby.
I could see the 10-8 the second round. I see the 3-4 for Colby. I thought five was Usman though. I thought five was.
It was close.
But it was close. Here's the real question. Did Colby score a takedown?
Yes, 100%.
100%. I posted on my story, and people were like, "Yeah, no, that's, I don't know." Shut the fuck up! I've been wrestling my whole life.
A wrestling takedown, an MMA takedown. People think that you have to do damage to do an MMA takedown. That's the difference.
No real criteria, because if you watch my fight, I took him down. I took Rick Glenn down. He hit his butt and he popped right back up. And then I body locked him and took him down again. And they counted that as two takedowns, not one. If what I did was a takedown, for sure what Colby did was a takedown.
It was a takedown. Now, Sean O'Malley has a tough fight. People are sleeping on this guy, Raul Pavia, but he beat Kyler Phillips. Kyler Phillips is a fucking stud. People look past Kyler Phillips. This dude is amazing. And he beat him. It was close, but he beat him. He also beat Zalgas Umagalov. He knocked out Mark De La Rosa. O'Malley's got his – he lost to Kai Kara France by split, and then Rogerio Bontarian knocked him out. But this is a tough one for O'Malley. This is not a – they're not giving him a guy that they just brought to the UFC last week from fucking Jiffy Lube. Like he's legit. He's fucking legit. Are you sold on O'Malley, Grant?
I'm not. I think that he's a very good striker. I think that he's a very creative striker. He's very elusive, but I don't think that he's durable enough to compete with these guys. And I think that there's a lot of quit in him, and there's a lot of unanswered questions in his game. I think he's got good jiu-jitsu. I think that his wrestling needs work, and I think that he won't be able to – a good leg kicker is going to beat him every time. And I'm not just saying that because of his ankle issues. Like, I really believe with his stance and his style, even if you take out his injuries, just I think a good 2-3 hard low kick is going to beat him quite a bit.
What do you think, Bill?
I mean, I agree with what Grant said, but I'm still gunning for O'Malley. Good luck with the Irish for you, you know?
Yeah, he's also hilarious. I mean, he's just a funny character. This whole card is actually really good because you got Cody Garbrandt versus Kai Kara France, Jeff Neal versus Ponzinibbio, you have Josh Emmett versus Dan Ige, Dominic Cruz versus Pedro Munoz, Sakai versus Tai Tuivasa, Jordan Wright, the Beverly Hills Ninja versus Bruno Silva, and then you got Eric Anderson on the card, Matt Schnell versus Alex Perez, Ryan Hall is back against Derek Minner, a guy that you train with, right, Minner?
Yep, I trained Minner this morning.
Tony Kelly versus Randy Costa. Yeah, this whole card's good. Now, how are you getting Derek Minner ready for a guy like Ryan Hall?
I'm going to try to show you. Can you see my foot? Yeah. A lot of that. Just pull the foot up. Knees to the face. Don't let him grab your ankle.
Now, are you going for heel hooks every time? Are you just doing rolling heel hooks the entire time?
So the first like couple of weeks we went together, I was like going to my back and trying to stuff. He's just effing me up because I'm not good on my back. And I was like, dude, I'm gonna give you better looks taking your back and trying to wrestle you. We got two guys, Paul Kalinda, and we call him Murder Dog. His name's Justin Faback, and they're both really, really good leg lockers. So he's been training with them quite a bit. And you're never going to be able to get to the level of leg locker that Ryan Hall is, of course, but you can learn enough to avoid, and you have to remember that this is MMA. Yeah. I'm taking – obviously, he's my teammate. He's my buddy. I fought him. I'm taking Derek Minner, and I truly believe that he's going to win. I think he's going to win by knockout.
What do you think, Bill?
I agree. I kind of feel like if you're able to defend the leg lock in MMA, which I don't think is really that hard, particularly once you go into deeper in the rounds, you get sweaty. I think I still don't believe that the heel hook has really revealed itself to be the surefire weapon that all these newfangled jiu-jitsu guys think it is. You know what I mean? It's still very rare. I mean, I think Gary Tonin's one of the best at it over at ONE, but like...
And he never uses it. He never uses it. He's like, he never goes for those crazy stuff.
Yeah, because if you don't get in the first round, if you don't get the heel hook in the first round, like, it's very unlikely you're going to get it. Right, so
Ryan Hall, though, watching him fight is hilarious. It's like watching somebody play a video game where they keep going for the same move over and over.
Rolls.
Oh my god! I mean, he's so stubborn with it, though. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I mean, he beat Gray Maynard. He's beaten good dudes. He beat Darren Elkins.
He's sick, man. It's sick.
But his last fight, he got knocked the fuck out. He got knocked out hard.
That guy's good. Really? He's good.
Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, that was like, I thought he might have died. Like, because it was like, he was, the way he got knocked out, because when he goes for those moves, he's like, he leaves himself wide open. So if you catch him, it's not like anything was protecting him. It was just like a boop, you know?
Like, you got to wait for him. Wait for him, because you know what he's going to do. So wait for him to go big, and then just get out, you know? And I think one of the things, too, that a lot of people don't do with him is they don't stall the position. Like, when he's on his back, kick his legs a bit, you know, just kind of win the round, make it look good for the judges. Then he gets up and you just got to, you know, rinse and repeat until you catch him or until you win a boring decision.
I can't wait for that fight. That's going to be a good fight. Derek Minner's a guy who's like, he's been around.
He's so hooked too. Like, I've fought the dude. I've also fought a 7-time Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu world champion, and Derek Minner had me in more submissions than that dude ever did. Like, I was in more danger with Derek Minner than I ever was with this dude who's way bigger and better jiu-jitsu, apparently.
I like it. I like it. So, Bill, what do we have coming up?
Oh, for me right now, what am I doing? I'm going to do some shows in Austin this weekend at Sunset Strip Austin with Giannis Pappas and Kirk Fox.
So nice.
Reno, Las Vegas Laugh Factory, Reno, December 14th.
And then Grant, where can people follow you?
Follow me on Instagram, Grant Dawson, KGD. I don't ever get on anything else, but if you want to follow me on Instagram, follow me on Instagram. Also, I'm doing this thing where I'm trying to help younger fighters kind of take smarter paths with their career. So I've been telling people, like, if you're a young fighter, you want to know how to get to the UFC or want any type of advice on how to get to the UFC, reach out to me on Instagram. I want to talk to everybody and anyone. So if you're listening to this, you want to know, hit me up.
I love it. And then I'll be in El Paso at the comic strip this weekend. And and then December 7th to the 11th, I'll be at the Strat in Las Vegas. Thank you guys. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Kamozi. Be good, guys. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.